It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. It's time for our weekly conversation with the Athletic's Corey Brock. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. For the best Storms, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, Rainiers, Sounders, and not to mention the largest Sonics collection in the world, check out SimplySeattle.com. Now with Corey Brock, here's Softy and Dick.
All right, big thanks to our friends at SimplySeattle.com. If you're buying anything on the website, be sure and use the code Softy10 for 10% off at checkout. At SimplySeattle.com, Mariner gear, Hawk gear, Kraken gear, Storm gear, the world's largest online supersonic store, all at SimplySeattle.com. Shop local, shop simple, shop SimplySeattle.com. Here he is, a man who is anything but simple. He's very complex, our friend Corey Brock from TheAthletic.com. How are you, pal?
I'm doing well. You know what? I just got a box from Simply Seattle with some sweet Sonic stuff in it. I'm pretty excited.
I was going to say, don't open it yet. We got to have that tested before you open it up. That's so right. Sounds like you did it already.
Oh.
So everyone's all safe. All right, good. Hey, so I'm watching the game yesterday. I want to talk about the Kelenic controversy, I guess, if there is one in a second. But I'm watching that game yesterday, and up until Toro had the home run and France won it in extra innings, I'm thinking to myself, this team looks like they might be in some trouble, and I don't know if yesterday's outcome, the final score, if you will, would change that thought at all. What do you think? Is this a baseball team that looks like they may have some serious holes, or are people maybe panicking a bit too early?
Well, again, not to beat the dead horse about being one bat shy coming out of spring training, but let's remember they are without Mitch Haniger, Tom Murphy, who was off to a fantastic start, and J.P. Crawford's working through some back spasms. He'll be back probably tomorrow. So those three guys weren't in your lineup, and these are three guys that, you know, I figure are going to play maybe not every day, but are going to play a lot and expected to contribute a lot. So, yeah, it's things are a little lean right now, so this is a tough stretch. They've had the weather here. I thought yesterday's win was probably cathartic on a lot of fronts, not just the George Kirby debut, which was dazzling, but you know, they came up with some big hits late in the game. Toro has two home runs in the last two games. Maybe he's getting going, but boy, it's going to take a collective effort. You know, they're heading out on this road trip here pretty soon, and they're going to have to swing it to survive.
How long can they last without making a move to bolster the offense? And when are offensive players made available by teams that are really, really bad?
Yeah, and we're still too early because, the teams have gone through the process of setting their roster. They want to see guys perform. You know, 40 games is kind of a not-so-secret magical mark where teams sort of decide, okay, maybe this is what we are. We need to make a move in one direction or another, or maybe no moves. And certainly if you have something catastrophic that happens, you have no choice. So, you know, we're not to that point yet. And teams aren't really, teams never really deal guys in April and May, just because, like I said, they're trying to see what they are and give these guys enough of a sample size to see what they can do. So,
right.
You know, I have to think that maybe at some point they have to go out and address the offense a little bit and maybe get that bat that maybe they should have gotten, you know, in the off season. But we'll see. We're not to that point yet, but I think that's a conversation to be had.
Well, George Kirby, six innings, four hits of shutout ball, seven strikeouts yesterday in the game versus Tampa. Bill James has a stat he devised called a game score. And I guess the way they do a game score, a score of 50 is average. Scores of 0 or below or 100 or higher are extremely rare. And the Mariners say that George Kirby had the highest game score ever for a pitcher making his debut in Mariner baseball history at 71 yesterday. How impressed were you with George Kirby?
Yeah, really impressed. And, you know, we've been hearing about this guy for a long time, Softy, since they drafted him in 2019 and the high strikeout rate, how he doesn't walk anybody. didn't walk anyone yesterday, just throws a ton of strikes, really fills up the strike zone. I think he was amped up early, got a few three ball counts, but you know, he was up around 97. The secondary pitches were really good. This guy's going to be a great fit moving forward for the rotation. I would suspect he stays in the rotation now moving forward, and maybe they have to kind of adjust things with day off here and there, and certainly with the All-Star break, to make sure his innings load isn't too bad. But it's really exciting. You know, we saw this a lot with Logan Gilbert last summer, and there'll be some ups and downs, but he gave fans a lot to dream on yesterday.
So tell us why it's different than 27 days ago when Matt Brash went 5 1/3, only gave up 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, and we were all talking about him. Why is this more sustainable than what Matt Brash did, or is it?
Well, first of all, Kirby has a much longer pedigree as a starter. He's been a starter going back to his college days. And certainly he has one thing going for him that Matt Brash doesn't, and that's a history of throwing strikes and a lot of strikes. And, you know, I think we saw with each subsequent Matt Brash start after that opener or his first game in Chicago, the command became more of a variable each time out, and he really had trouble getting in the strike zone. And that was really the root of all his issues. He walked 17 in 20 innings, so George Kirby's not going to do that. He may not walk 17 all year, or maybe even next year combined. So, you know, I still think, you know, Matt Brash is going to be a good player. I still think he's going to help this team at some point. They seem to think it's going to be as a reliever. We'll see what he could do. But, you know, again, he's still only 24 years old. I still think he has a bright future ahead of him.
So why was Brash named the fifth starter instead of Kirby? Just based on 3 weeks of spring training when you have all that other data you just talked about?
Yeah, you know, I think it was a 1A, 1B situation. And honestly, even though we could put a lot of emphasis into spring training stats when in reality we know they don't really mean a whole lot, but his stuff was dynamite, and he was in the strike zone more, and the pitch mix was just electric. He won that spot, fair and square. He was better than Kirby was. But the feeling all along certainly was that Kirby was going to be up and he was going to help his team, maybe not on May 8th, but lo and behold, here he is. So, you know, I don't think it was a bad decision by the Mariners. Like I said, I think Brash won that spot, and now it's Kirby's, and I think he's going to run with it.
Okay, well, what is the short-term and long-term plan here for Matt Brash? Walk us through what the next maybe steps are with him.
Yeah, City of Destiny, right? Tacoma. He's going to be they want him to be a multi-inning reliever, maybe like a two-inning guy, because he is stretched out. But this will give him an opportunity maybe to go out and use all his bullets early on and not have to worry about throwing a third pitch or a fourth pitch. You know, he could just focus on that fastball and that slider, or maybe some days it's going to be that fastball and the curveball. But it's all going to be contingent on him throwing strikes. I mean, he pitched in relief yesterday. I think he gave up a home run, a couple walks, 3 strikeouts. You know, it was kind of a Matt Brash line. And he's just going to have to fill up the strike zone a lot more to be able to help this team, because they envision him as pitching important innings in that bullpen, which has been, you know, been weakened. It looks a little bit different than it did last year, and a little vulnerable. So they hope to get him back, but it's all going to have to start with better command.
We talked earlier about Mitch Haniger. You mentioned him being out of the lineup. He's got 35 at-bats total already, in the first month of the season. And Jerry DePoto was on with us near the beginning of the season, said it takes two to tango to be able to do a contract. Is Mitch potentially costing himself quite a bit of money by being unavailable in 2022, particularly if this lingers?
Yeah, and, you know, through no fault of his own, really, because, you know, injuries happen, and it's really unfortunate. This is a guy who, you know, takes supreme care of himself, and it's, you know, the high ankle sprain is kind of a freak deal, but he's in a boot. He's doing some stuff without the boot on, but he's mostly wearing this protective boot for a while. You know, it may be All-Star break after the All-Star break until we see him again. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. I think this is going to be an important year for him, at least financially. This is his walk year before free agency. So, but, you know, I still maintain that he's very important to this team. and hopefully he gets himself back and he can contribute.
I think he's massively important to this team, for sure. Yeah, there's no massively. Question. Well, Corey Brock is with us from The Athletic, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. How close is Kyle Lewis to coming back up?
No timetable on that. You know, he's still playing with Tacoma. He's only played a handful of games. He's hit a couple bombs. You know, the Mariners are about to go on this long road trip to New York to face the Mets, Toronto, and then Boston. So, I don't know, maybe next homestand, maybe by the end of the month he's back here, but they haven't determined yet. I think that'll be determined by how Kyle's doing, how his knee feels, and just, you know, his timing and such. But I think, you know, we're closing in on it, but I still think it will be toward the end of the month.
Right. Well, okay, where does he play when he comes back? Whose spot does he take? Who gets bumped? Is that the day that Kelnick goes down?
Well, we'll see. I mean, at some point you have to produce, and, you know, we've already seen them move. Well, we saw them move Brash down. That's a little different story. Cal Raleigh went down, and obviously he had to come back up when Tom Murphy got hurt. But, I don't think his days are numbered by any means. But, you know, at some point you have to produce. So that could be a logical move, or maybe you get a chance to – you know, use that DH spot a little more to slide him in there, maybe let him play the field, you know, 3 days a week, let him DH a few other days a week. But, you know, these are all good problems you could sort through later. The important thing is that, you know, he continues to feel good, he continues to hit down there, get his timing down, and then, he could be a nice piece to add maybe on before June 1st.
Are we another bat light with J.P. Crawford, or is he back in the lineup?
Not today. He was taking some BP, but I think he could play probably either Tuesday or Wednesday at the absolute latest.
Okay, well, the other piece of news I was curious about from yesterday, so Jared Kelnick got thrown out in the fifth inning, I believe, at second base, and it looked at first like he was safe, and then a lace of the player's glove looked like it maybe hit Kelnick's foot. And we're all scrambling, at least I was, and got a hold of a copy of the 2021 baseball rulebook that said that laces aren't supposed to count anymore. So unless baseball has changed the rule, which would run counterproductive to everything they've done, which is to benefit offense, then the umpires in replay may have blown that call against Kelnick yesterday. What do you think?
Well, I talked to Jared Kelnick about this. Kasafi, I know how you obsess over things.
Yes.
You were going to ask me about this.
Yes.
And I asked him point blank. I said, hey, what was the deal with that? Did it have anything to do with the laces? And he said, no. Obviously, it's in the rule book that laces can't be a part of that. But he said, obviously, the umpire called him out. And when they went to do the review, this, again, has nothing to do with the laces. It just wasn't enough information to overturn that. We see that with a lot of close calls, but Jared said he was never tagged. And then the umpire said, hey, if I had called you safe and, you know, Tampa did a review, the call would have stood as safe. So,
wow.
You know, it's just one of those deals. So yeah, the laces had nothing to do with it.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I saw that replay over and over again. I thought there was no way that his glove hit his foot. I thought it was obvious that his glove never hit his foot. And now you're telling me that the umpires told Jared Kelnick it was inconclusive and they would stick with whatever call was made on the field? The replay was clear as day that his glove didn't hit his foot.
But we see this all the time. I mean, that's kind of the crutch they have, the fallback that, hey, we didn't have enough information to overturn it, whereas you and I, and let's face it, those guys have better angles to look at it than we do. You know,
I'm not buying it. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I think what happened is the umpires and New York blew the rule. They didn't know the rule, and this is their way of covering their ass by saying there was not enough evidence to overturn a call. That's what I think.
Okay. I'm just telling you what Jared told me today.
Talk about Tom Murphy's injury, because I think he's kind of underrated. I mean, Softie and I were talking in the break about how hard it is to find a 750 OPS catcher. And Tom Murphy's a career 750 OPS catcher that's got 900 OPS this season. They could use him.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, he's had some rotator cuff and some shoulder issues in the past. And, you know, if you saw the replay the other night when he got hurt, he just kind of got, you know, there was a tag play at the plate, and then he just walked off the field. I mean, he knew he dislocated it. And, you know, they popped it back in. But as you guys know, once you have a dislocated appendage or whatever, you're more likely to suffer the same injury again. So I think this is something he's battled before. They were going to have an MRI to look at it to see how bad it was. But, yeah, having him out it weakens you in a lot of areas. He's so good with the pitching staff. I think he's pretty good defensively, and then the bat was really playing well. So we'll have to see. We're going to see a lot of Torrens and Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, it sounds like you're not buying my theory on the umpires in Kelnick yesterday. I mean, you were the one that mentioned that I obsess over this stuff, so I think I'm going to just
Well, you've come up with this grassy knoll argument, but that's fine.
Well, the video, again, go watch the video, because if you're telling me conclusive evidence that his glove did not hit his foot, you got to go see Dr. Sharp, and Dick Fain can set that up for you, by the way. Hey, Corey, before you go, look, we respect your opinion a lot, right? You're a longtime baseball beat writer. You cover the Mariners, you cover the Padres, you cover the game for a long, long time, work for a nice, respected establishment like The Athletic. We need your opinion on something, okay? So Friday night, we had Paul Sewald on our show at 5:30. Yeah. And I was going to mention his numbers, but wanted to be respectful of, you know, baseball players that may be a little superstitious about talking about that stuff. So we asked him, do you want to bring him up? Do you want to talk about him? Are you superstitious? He said, I am. I don't want to do it. And so we don't bring him up. And then he goes out and gets his yitz lit up on Friday night, and people are blaming us. So I want you to hear this clip with Paulie Sewald, and you tell us if you think that we jinxed him. And if we should be personally held responsible for the game he had on Friday night. Roll it.
Your buddy Adam at the Mariners actually texted me your numbers, and I'm very, very nervous about repeating these on the air because I'm very superstitious.
I thought we talked about this, Dave.
Well, I'm not bringing them up without his permission. Good. I mean, how about you? Are you a superstitious guy? Do you want to talk about your numbers, or do you just ignore all that stuff?
I am a fairly superstitious guy. I know what they are, and they're very good, but we're, you know, every time I go out there is a new day, and I try and put up a 1-2-3 inning, and you know, whatever the season stats are at the end of the season, they'll be that, and I don't really worry about that stuff as much as I can. I try and control every day at a time.
Good, forget it then. We'll move on.
Okay, so you heard everything that came out of my mouth regarding Paul Sewald's stats leading up to Friday night's game. Should me and Dick be held responsible for jinxing Paul Sewald and the game he had Friday?
Hell no. You did everything you could to provide a buffer there where you really didn't even have to. I mean, you just could have gone down that path. But no, you guys handled yourself well, and if anyone's giving you any garbage, you send them down my way.
All right, well, good. I'll tell you the name. Why don't you tweet old Jason Puckett while you're at it? And because we deserve complete exoneration.
Yeah. And throw Furness's dumbass in there, too. That's Corey, right. It wouldn't surprise you. It's two dirty cougars that are coming after us for what happened on Friday.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so this is this everyone's on the same page here. This is a respected journalist that is absolving you and I of any blame on Friday. All right, I love it. Listen, great stuff, man. Appreciate this, and we'll talk in a week, pal.
Thanks, man.
Go Dogs.
All right, go Dogs. Corey Brock with us on the radio show.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.